Thieves was trying to record a brand new album. Harder, faster, better than before. I called up my drummer and I told him my ambitions. He said I just can't play that fast no more. I replied, hey grandpa, don't you go being a pussy. This one's going out for charity. He said my shoulder's killing me, and I said I don't care. That's the way it's gonna have to be. We have just another word for nothing left to lose. It's ready, ain't worth nothing, but he's free. The wicked rose is in for when Trevi played the drums. And bloody, that was good enough for me. Good enough for me and Trevi McKee.
We asked for an intro. I don't know.
Completely speechless. Well, 39 years old, I finally had somebody write a song about me, and they called me a pussy. So I have arrived.
That was Nick from Overmortal, and clearly he's been paying attention on the last couple podcasts because he caught all the details in that song.
That's hilarious. Talking about ice in my shoulder and everything. Nick,
haters gonna hate.
Nick, right? Nick from Overmortal, huh?
Yep. So that intro everybody just heard, that was from Nick from Overmortal. And if you've listened to the last couple podcasts and you go back and listen to the music and the lyrics, it makes sense and it's hilarious.
I have given my pain a name, and that name is Nick.
Wow.
Very good. Very. I'm flattered, I'm laughing, I'm speechless, and at the same time, kiss the fattest part of my ass, Nick.
Ouch.
So, what's up, everybody? Travi McKee is with me again today. And also, we have with us Seth Werkheiser.
Hello, greetings and salutations.
Probably most of the people who listen to this podcast, the dozens of people even, probably know mm-hmm. who you are because they're all friends of Travis or Stevens or mine. But anyway, who are you?
It's a motley crew, really.
So, who are you and why do we care?
Wow, I ask myself, why am I here and what does it all mean? Who am I? I'm an, I guess, ex-music blogger guy. Does a lot of nerdy stuff on the internet. That biked around the country for a year or two, and now I do metal trivia on Twitter and stuff. That's who I am.
Yeah.
Can I add bass player extraordinaire? The guy can slap at the bass. He can. I've heard him.
It's somewhat true. I started playing bass in '91. Playing a bunch of bands, playing a ska band, playing a one-man band, playing a band called Pink Daffodils that in some circles is either the best band in the world or a power Christian power violence band. So take your pick there. But I play bass. And then what happened was I played a lot of shows over the years and stuff like that. And then I stopped playing shows, and I started writing about music. And that's when I started a music blog in 2001 called Buzz Grinder. And I did that for like 7 years and met a lot of people through that and wrote about a lot of bands that I liked. Made fun of a lot of bands. I don't know how I didn't get beat up or more angry emails. This was actually before social media, really. So
you're fast on the bike.
That's probably why. But, And what?
You're fast on the bike, so you were able to get away from everybody. So you didn't get beat up.
No. I mean, right. No, I don't know what it was. And then I stopped doing that, and I started Noise Creep for AOL Music in 2009.
For the record, that was supposed to be called Downtune.
It was almost called Bedlam. That was the name we wanted, but we couldn't because it was trademarked or something. And then we started throwing words together, and there was three names. It was Noise Creep, Vection, which is a sensation that you feel when you're sitting in a parked car and the car next to you like goes in reverse and you feel like you're moving. That weird feeling. That's called Vection.
I like that feeling, but I think you made a wise choice in not using that word as your name.
Well, after you hear this third name, was Crank Pit. So we didn't go with that one either.
That was a porn site.
Yeah. No, I think we got that one if we wanted it, but no, we went with Noise Creep. I
suggested Downtune. He was in my basement going like, I'm going to start the metal blog for AOL.
Right.
I need a name. And I was like, Downtune.
Nope.
And he was
no
like,
pressure.
Yeah, I guess. Just, did it even make the table? Did you even write it down, or did you just wiggle your pen and make it look like... Like, just be honest with me.
I don't remember.
You're lying.
That means he didn't even write it down.
That means he didn't write it down.
For
I don't
sure.
remember. I don't remember this? Ever considering it seriously. That's
what's this? What's this writing thing you speak of? maybe it wasn't Downtune. Yeah.
So you did all that,
and then I quit. Actually, in the midst of that, near the end of my run with Noise Creep, I got rid of all my stuff and put my laptop in a bag, and I rode to Rutherford, New Jersey. I stayed there a couple weeks, and then I rode to deeper into New Jersey, and I kept riding, and I biked across Pennsylvania, and by the time I made it down to... eventually, I started getting on Greyhound buses with my bike, and I made it to Nashville, Tennessee, where I gave him a 2 weeks notice, and it was a delightful time, that was. And then I kept going. I made it all the way to Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Wow.
I don't know. I kind of been mobile, roaming around ever since. So, although since 2010, I stopped really biking in late 2011. I got hurt and stuff. So, and then also I started noticing, I was riding a little bit in 2013 still, but I started noticing more people checking Instagram on their phones while driving, while I was riding next to them. So, I'd be kind of bugged out about riding on the roads anymore. So,
yeah, we've talked about biking and stuff briefly over email. You're a bike nerd.
Mm-hmm.
Well, actually, that was your blog, wasn't it, Bike Nerd? One of your blogs.
It was. Yeah, the bike nerd. Yeah, the bike nerd. That started on Tumblr. Then I moved it to WordPress. And that was a good old time. Geez, so many adventures and biking and. Different bikes. I had a single speed bike for a while, then I had a cyclocross bike, and I had a folding bike. Yeah, it was wild. Biking all over the place.
Are you doing any riding at all now, or are you just completely off of it?
Not really, no. I have I've been traveling most of the summer, mostly by bus, without the bike. Just because, I don't know, I feel... I'm old and cranky now. I don't want to carry a bike with me anymore. So it's like, oh, I gotta carry this laptop, and a bike, and a helmet. So it's just kind of like, it's more angering than it is. I don't know, a couple years ago it was like, wee, I'm on a bike and not in a cubicle, yeah! And now it's just like, everyone please leave me alone. I don't want to... I'm just gonna walk on the sidewalk where no motorists are checking Facebook while they're driving at 35 miles per hour past me.
Right.
And I'll be safe. I'll be fine.
It's the beard. The beard has brought on involuntary curmudgeonry. And that's you now.
Yeah, it's a bit me. I mean, I do have a bike. I bought a bike last summer, a used bike. I was looking for a bike. I moved to Philadelphia for the summer. And I was looking for a used bike. and I didn't want to spend a lot. And the one bike shop I went to, I was looking at all these cheesy single speed or fixed gear bikes, and they were this, that, and the other. They're like $400 or $500. I was like, no, I don't want to spend that much. And then the guy was like, well, I have this used bike over here. And he pulled out this bike and had green tires, purple rims, purple hubs, pink grip tape, pink seat, like pink crankset. It was $250. And it was a IRO. And it was perfectly exactly my size. It was a fixed gear, but I was like, I will take it. So that's why I ride now. It doesn't have green tires anymore or pink seat, but it's a beautiful, awesome bike. I just don't ride it enough.
And it's a proper fixed gear, meaning to people who don't know, no brakes, no free wheel, no nothing.
Well, no, it has a front brake. And yeah, for people that don't know, people know if you back in the day when you rode on a tricycle, how the pedals were directly connected to that front wheel. That's how a fixed gear bike is. The pedals, if you're moving, if you're rolling, the pedals are moving. So there's no coasting.
Right.
And it's a pretty neat sensation. It's a neat feeling. I was down in Atlanta a couple months ago, and me and my buddy, we rented bikes, and it was this big, giant, like, comfort bike or whatever. And I remember getting on, and that had a free wheel on it. It was, like, weird. I was, like, spinning my, this is weird. Why? And the pedals aren't moving. So it was fun. I adjusted.
That's cool. I remember when I lived in the Northwest, I used to bike commute to work sometimes, and I'd see people driving with their knee, you know, you'd be blowing through rows of traffic, and you'd see people driving with their knee with the paper out over the steering wheel, you know, and then the next person would be the lady putting her makeup on, just stuck in gridlock. And I kind of loved it, but I was younger then, and I don't do any bike commuting now because I live in the middle of nowhere and I'm not tough enough to ride my bike the distance I would need to get to.
Sure. I lived in New York City for 6 years, and it took me about a year to get used to it. But oh my goodness, once I did, I started out like I would dart and I would like ride between buses and taxis and this and that. I would get angry and like, and then I just found myself getting more angry and angry all the time. I'd yell at pedestrians. I'd like slap taxis on their trunks when they cut me off. This, that, and the other. I was like, I don't want to be angry anymore. I don't like this. So I just started riding slow then and making sure I rode. And then what happened was in New York City, all of a sudden they started really cracking down on traffic laws for bikers. So if you ran a red light on a bike, you could get a $275 fine. And I was like, this is perfect. Yes, I want to do this. Like, I want to take my time. I want to be slow and respect the rules of the road. It was wonderful. One time I was up in Greenpoint, it was me and my friend, we were parked there, and a cop pulled up next to us, and we were just waiting at the light, because that's what we know, whatever, that's what we're doing. And this idiot rolls up on this big, giant, cool bike, and he had, like, shades on and no helmet, and he was all cool. And he was carrying a giant box under his arm, and he just, like, totally stumbled between my friend and the cop car and rolled right through the stoplight. And me and my little passive, quiet Seth voice was like, what the heck? And the cop, we totally heard the cop, like, yeah, let's get him. And they turned on their siren and they pulled him over and gave him a ticket. It was awesome.
Nice.
Yeah. But yeah, New York City was ruthless. I mean, it trained me well for doing a whole bunch of riding around the country that I did. But I don't want to do that stuff, crazy stuff anymore.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing, riding across the country, and I used to race downhill and, you know, things like that, and riding on the road scared me more than downhill and big jumps and everything. Just
yeah,
I mean, it's incredibly scary. People don't realize it.
I rode. Because what I would do, too, I would get off these buses, put my single speed back together, or if, when I had my folding bike, just unfold my bike and start riding. I would ride from train and bus stations. You know, I rode all around Boston, rode all over, South Carolina, Miami, Florida, Tampa, Florida, New Orleans, I was riding. It was nuts, and I think about it now, it's just, I don't know. you know, I rode at night. I rode in bad sections. I rode, you know, bad parts of the town and stuff. And now it's just no, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that anymore.
Well, right on.
It's like I just want to be like find like an off. Well, no, I can't even say that because like I was gonna say I want to find like a nice peaceful bike trail. You know, a nice, but then it's filled with a bunch of like Lance Armstrong wannabes that are like doing 35 miles an hour everywhere on the bike path. So it's just like, I don't even want to do that anymore. So
that's, I understand.
As Travis said, I'm the bearded curmudgeon guy now. It's just, I just want to sit around with my coffee and my laptop and just get off my lawn.
I like, yeah, I go out.
That's me now.
I've got this big, fat, ugly bike now, and I just go out and I just cruise around trails, and I'm fortunate enough to live in an area where there's a lot of you know, high mountain passes, and the Colorado Trail runs right through my backyard, and
nice,
know, all kinds of cool things that I can get out there, and I can really just get lost. And every once in a while you come across someone else, and usually if they're up there out in the middle of nowhere like that, they're pretty chill and pretty cool too.
Yeah, so
but the local trails, you kind of got to time it. You go like, okay, this group's getting ready to go. I'm going to give them a little bit so I don't catch up to them. Oof. Or, you know, I just don't want to run into those guys. Or
yeah. Right.
But, all right, well.
Right, that's totally it.
We're boring Travis with bike talk. He thinks bikes are dumb because he has a car. So let's take a break and play some music.
Cars are coffins.
Yeah, I've got all one right, of those stickers on my guitar case somewhere, and ironically it's a coffin case guitar case. Let's take a break and play some music.
You win.
What have you guys been listening to? Let's play something recent.
The yeah, we knew him well from Down. Been listening to that from that last EP. Came out earlier this year. Totally slept on it earlier this year. And then, I don't know, just recently was like, oh, I'll click on this and play it. And I love it. And I love the song. So, yeah, play it. Be cool.
Cool,
yeah.
Song.
I just came up to it, too. Just like, it's weird that you bring that up. Like, maybe 3 weeks ago or so, I just kind of stumbled across it on Spotify, of all things, and started playing it there. And yeah, I like it, too. So, here it is. Consume it.
Translate on earth.
So there was Down, and that was what Seth's been listening to lately. So welcome back. All right, the whole reason we got us three clowns all together here was to talk about guilty pleasures. And like when Jesse
musical.
Oh yeah, let's clarify. It ain't that type of podcast, right? To clarify this, when Jesse approached me about this, he was like, "Don't pick Prince. Like everybody picks Prince. Prince is good. Like this has to be like legitimately embarrassing things that we like, and we probably will socially hurt ourselves by exposing that we're into." So, I'm prepared. I'm prepared to embarrass myself. I have to just decide that I don't care what any of you think. Thank goodness this is early in the podcast, and there's only probably about 15 people listening. So,
but, yeah, Prince was what we talked about because, like, I listen like Purple Rain is one of my favorite albums, and I'm not, you know, I don't really consider that a guilty pleasure because it's just a really good album.
It's and awesome.
Like, I'll play it at work. You know, I work in basically the construction industry, and so I play. I'm just jamming Purple Rain, and you know, all the other guys are like, you know, whatever.
You told me you sit on a couch and look at your laptop all day. Does that really count as construction work?
That's largely what I do anymore, but technically I am in the construction business. And anyway, the point is oftentimes I'm around a bunch of macho guys and they think, you know, I've been called air quotes gay for listening to Prince so many times, and okay, fine, I'm gay, I like Prince, I don't care, whatever. So Prince doesn't count.
Right.
You know, things like Appetite for Destruction by Guns N' Roses, we were talking about that amongst ourselves over the break, one of the greatest albums ever made. People make fun of me for liking it. I don't care, I don't think it's a guilty pleasure. I think it's one of the best.
Who makes fun of you for liking Appetite for? That's not a guilty pleasure, that's right? Just pleasure.
Right, I agree. So we have to really dig deep here, and we have to really pull out the things that, not the things that you kind of like, oh yeah, you know, I heard this whatever jingle on the radio and it was okay. No, like, what are the things that are like truly embarrassing that you're like, hey, I legitimately like this, and you're going to make fun of me for me telling you this, and I'm not going to have anything to say in my defense. Those are the guilty pleasures we're looking for.
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay.
So, all right, for starters, somewhere around 1994, right after I graduated high school, there was a little band that hit the scene that I thoroughly enjoyed, and I liked... like the next 4 or 5 albums. And then apparently everything fell apart when Dave Matthews decided to pick up an electric guitar and everybody thought that he betrayed all his folk acoustic or whatever, blah, 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 blah. But you know what? Straight up, for all the metal drumming I've done and all that kind of stuff, I like Dave Matthews Band. I haven't been into them in a long time. I'm not that guy. I don't go to the shows. I don't follow them up and down the East Coast. But the first 5 or 6 full-length albums, I think, are legit. I think they're good. And I know everybody is going to make fun of me and throw things at me and say awful things behind my back. And I just have to not care. I have no defense. I dig them. I think they're great musicians. There you go. Let me have it.
What do you... your thoughts, Seth, as the music commenting professional?
I mentioned earlier that I do metal trivia on Twitter. Part of what I did on that was I did an interview series called What Are You Listening To? And one of the questions was always, you know, what's something that you're embarrassed by but you love? And I had so many people... I did like 50 interviews or so. And I had so many people tell me, like, I don't care, you know... I'm not embarrassed by this, blah blah blah, and I think the three of us need to be strong in that and find support in that, because heck yes, Dave Matthews Band. I mean, I don't know, I think I hung in with them for the first 2 albums. I just didn't keep up with them or whatever, but I could easily go back and listen to them, you know, front to back. I mean, the musicianship on them is fantastic, I think. Drumming, bass playing, heck yes. And for me too, I mean, you know, embarrassing song, whatever. They wrote songs. You can hum them. You can, you know, remember them.
Seth, give me. And I got you into disc golf. So now we disc golf. We listen to Dave Matthews Band.
I know.
You know, we're only an illegal purchase away from being college students. You realize that, right?
You had to bring up the disc golf, really, dude.
yeah, that happened.
Seriously.
Bikes couple for 15 times. Straight minutes. I can mention this.
Yeah, heck yeah. All right. So, the thing with that, too, is just it's so easy to get caught up in, like, oh, the fans of that band, they're dumb, blah, blah, blah. I don't care.
They are dumb.
Whatever.
Present company included.
Exactly. So be it. I can dig Dave Matthews Band.
Right on.
Am I supposed to chime in on my guilty pleasure?
Yeah,
now,
let's
though?
Hear it. Go for it.
Oh, excellent. Yeah, I didn't know if we were commenting on each other's. But mine is definitely, I'll give a backstory. 95, 96, when I was an unbearded Seth, I met someone on the internet way back then. I forget how, but we got talking and they went to the University of Buffalo. And we went, me and my friends down here in Pennsylvania, we went to visit them. And we went to Warped Tour 2 years in a row. And I forget which year it was, 95 or 96, but this band played the side stage and killed it. And it was a little band called Limp Bizkit. I love, like, I mean, that was, I mean, Deftones played, and, you know, that was around the time of, you know, Korn was breaking out and this and that. It was just like, I don't know. And then this groove-oriented, you know, rhythmic, whatever. I don't know, whatever. Simplistic, but you could still nod your head to them. So definitely Limp Bizkit. That I bought that album, $3 Bill Yaw, like a day or two later, and loved it. Loved it. Loved singing along to it. Holy moly. Absolute guilty pleasure of mine.
I saw Limp Bizkit at Ozfest, and they had a gigantic, probably about a three-story toilet on stage. And Fred Durst crawled out of the toilet and said, "We're Limp Bizkit, and we're here to talk some shit," which was funny, you know. And then they proceeded to put on a phenomenal show. Like them or hate them, they put on a good performance. Their guitarist is a nutbag. The dude was dressed like he had, like, that The Who skeleton outfit on.
Sure.
But he wasn't, like, funny. He was kind of creepy looking the entire right. time because he had, like, weird makeup and lighting on his face and stuff. And then they broke from – they did the George Michael cover, Faith. And then because they had the DJ, the fifth member of Limp Bizkit was the DJ from House of Pain, they carried right over into Jump Around. So they did, like, a medley of Ooh. Faith and Jump Around. Dude, they leveled the place. Say what you will yeah. about them. They put on a good show.
I wouldn't say I'm a fan of Limp Bizkit, but I'm pretty sure I bought that first album, that $3 Bill Yaw, or I don't know, maybe it wasn't their first album, but there's a couple songs on there I still like Counterfeit, and like, I don't know, I can't really stand Fred Durst's voice, but yeah, that I like that song. I like a couple songs on that album. Like, I think they're pretty good.
There you go.
And that was such a time for me too. I mean, that was when the internet was starting, and like I said, I met someone from the internet, and you know, we drove to Warped Tour and saw, you know, we stayed at that person's house and stuff like that. And that was around the time too, here in like Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania. I met a bunch of people on up there from like the internet, and it was just, I don't know, something about that time, that era, and somehow that album got mixed in there, and you know. Will always be a part of me.
I don't go back to it very often, but yeah, I hear you.
Yeah.
All right, play some. Get some fresh biscuits up in there, Jesse.
All right, here we go.
That was disgusting.
Yeah. we're done.
All right. That was embarrassing. I almost feel bad about even playing that song. But it is the guilty.
So bad, but so good.
Yeah, exactly. It is the Guilty Pleasures show, though, and Travi McGee and Seth both chimed in.
Musical. Musical Guilty Pleasures.
Yeah, Musical Guilty Pleasures. You know, as bad as Limp Bizkit is, I kind of think what I'm about to say might be even more embarrassing were it possible. And maybe you'll disagree with me, but I think what I'm about to say as my musical guilty pleasure is the equivalent of a mall metal boy band. Anyway, I love City of Evil by Avenged Sevenfold.
Whoa!
Right? Oh. I like the whole album. There's like two songs I don't like, but man, I think they're like a boy band because like you get a boy band together and like, yeah, all the dudes can sing. Sure, whatever, but it's not very good music. And you know, they're definitely metal crafted for you know, I mean, I heard an Avenged Sevenfold song playing in Safeway. Like that's how friendly and tame it is, but there's a couple songs on City of Evil that just I really like, and I've listened to their other albums. I don't really like them. And in fact, I made the comment on Facebook once that like after their drummer died, I think I said something like, "It's too bad their singer didn't die instead because their new album would be even better."
Oh man,
bet that went over well.
Oh man, everybody was super butthurt, and I thought that's not very metal to get butthurt over a joke about their singer sucking. but at any rate, I really like City of Evil, pretty much the whole album, and. There's this intro to The Wicked End that is just, dude, I learned how to play it. Like, I figured out how to play it on guitar. That's how much I like it.
You're gross.
I know, right? Well, it's guilty pleasures. It's not the thing that's secretly kind of cool that everybody else is really into also. It's the thing that's the most embarrassing.
Don't worry, you nailed it.
Right? Yeah. Okay. Well,
I don't know. I was. I'm glad you didn't say Creed.
Woo! Oh.
No.
Yeah.
That would be my last podcast. It'd be like.
So there is a depth further to sink than Avenged Sevenfold.
Not much.
Yeah, I think so.
And it's Creed. Okay. We're agreeing. it's probably unprofessional of me, but I was actually checking my email while we were on the break, talking about how awesome Avenged Sevenfold is and how Trav and Seth love them so much.
I got how it went? I don't remember it going that
way. Hey, I'm talking, dude. Don't talk over me.
Okay, sorry.
I get this email every night. It's Nerdy Metal Triver. Nerdy Metal Trivia.
It's from Skull like Toaster. Yeah.
Who?
What do you know about that, Seth?
Hooray. Let me tell you about it. After I left Noise Creep in February of 2011, I set off on a journey to find myself. I really did. I didn't know it at the time. But a lot of people were like, oh, Seth, you should start another metal blog. You should start a metal blog. And that was the last thing I wanted to do. And because I don't want to keep writing blog posts. I don't want to, you know. And there's already enough great metal blogs out there. They don't need another one. So I was like, well, man, maybe I could just write some metal trivia. And I'm a big fan of Twitter. Been on Twitter since 2006. So I thought, well, there's a bunch of metal nerds at shows. They're just staring at their phones in between bands. Why don't I just put metal trivia on Twitter? Like, they don't have to click to the website. They don't. I just put it there, and they can answer there. That'll be fun, right? And so I've been doing that since October of 2011. Over 800 followers now. Started an email list in 2012 with answers to each day's metal trivia. Used to do about 3 questions a day, down to 1, to keep things a little sane for everyone involved. And, yeah, it's a riot. And I totally, you said nerdy metal trivia. Yeah, I nerd it out. I mean, just recently we did a pizza metal category.
Right, that was hilarious.
Genius.
A band called Axe Slasher from Denver, they sponsored that with me. And, I mean, just stuff like, you know, Crust in Peace, you know. What was another one? Black Marinara. No, Black Dahlia Marinara.
My favorite, my personal favorite was Tomato Negative.
Right, it's almost like mixing such sacrilegious things, but it was funny. Like, you can't make fun of type. Oh, yeah, you can. Yeah,
you can.
So, yeah, no, it's been great.
I think it's really cool.
A lot of fun.
I'm not on Twitter all that much just because I'm an old man, I guess. But I subscribe to the email, and yeah. I know that the email is the answers to the questions, but I have fun just reading through it. Like, even this one that literally on the break my phone buzzed with talks about how the dude from Skid Row played bass on the last couple Stone Sour albums. I didn't know that, and I'm not a huge Stone Sour fan, but I love me some Skid Row.
Heck yeah.
Just cool. It's just cool information to come up with. It's better than hearing what the Kardashians are up to or something, you know. I mean, there's all kinds of cool stuff. I really like it.
Or what Dave Mustaine said, you know, recently. Like, I'm just so not into the TMZification of, you know, metal drama and news and stuff, quote unquote news.
Exactly.
It's just like, I'm just more into, Travis and I tweeted about this today, or we tooted at one another, about, yeah, exactly. Why write about negatively about bands? Like, this band's stupid and they're so dumb and here's their dumb video. Watch their dumb video. Like, every time you write or give promotion to a horrible band, you're just taking promotion away from a good band. And so, or a band that needs the coach. So, and that's kind of how I feel with Skull Toaster is, man, there's so many great bands out there. So many great bands that, like, that are all interconnected and we don't even know it. Like, Rachel Bolan on playing bass with Stone Sour or this or that. Like, it's so massive and deep, and it's so fun just finding all this stuff. And we all rediscover albums every day, which is phenomenal. I get people telling me that all the time on Twitter, like, oh, I haven't heard of that album, you know, in years, man. I'm going to go back and listen to it now. Like, awesome. Thumbs up. That's incredible. That's what keeps me going. So
I can't even remember where I signed up for your email list. Do you have that? Is that just on the Skull Toaster Twitter? Or where?
You can go to skulltoaster.com, and there's it tells you there's 2 ways to do Skull Toaster. You can follow on Twitter and or sign up for the email list. So you don't have to do both. You can do one or the either.
I highly advise following Seth, or not Seth, following at Skull Toaster on Twitter, because he responds to everybody, whether you're right or wrong. I'm wrong every time I answer. most of the time, not on, you know, I try to make it look like, oh yeah, I was being funny, but it just proves how little I know about metal. But but actually, the threads that have formed from a question, just a stupid, I happen to know a Testament question, and I beat somebody to the punch. Oh, dude, blah blah blah, this blah, back and forth. Next thing you know, I can rattle off five or six people that I met through Skull Toaster that I'm legitimate Twitter friends with, not Facebook friends, because those people don't exist. I'm talking like guys that like we DM off to the side, and we've actually like oh dude, I just got a promotional CD and I don't want it, I'm gonna send it to you, and I bought this guy's cassette that made this music. It's become like a little community. People have actually formed friendships. One guy bought me an album. I was like, Animals as Leaders is amazing. I love Animals as Leaders. I wish I can get the new one on vinyl, but I looked at the website. It's like $25. What's your email address? Swear to God, dude, PayPal'd me $25. No, didn't ask for it, didn't see it coming. I don't even know the dude that well. He just wanted to do something nice for somebody, and he picked me. And I have Joy in Motion on vinyl right there. I'm pointing at it. You can't see that because this is a podcast.
I like how you had to explain that to people that they couldn't see it.
You did it on another podcast. You'd be quiet. But some guy on Twitter through Skull Toaster bought me a record because he thought I was cool enough that he thought I should own it. That's what you get in Skull Toaster. It isn't just like game show crap. You know. Anyway, I'm done. I'm getting down off my soapbox now. As soon as I'm done, I'm going to listen to Animals as Leaders because I have
no. No, I like that soapbox.
You don't.
No. But no, that's a big thing I stress too, is just because Twitter lately, especially with all the changes to Facebook, all these people come to Twitter and follow 8,000 people, and just everybody's tooting, click here, read this, this is crazy, oh my goodness, here's a picture of a dog surfing, like, no, I
kind of want to see that though. That's
well, you know, I think you can Google that, dog surfing. I think there's a couple results for that.
All right, so follow Skull Toaster on Twitter. Go to skulltoaster.com, sign up for the email address, or I don't want to know you. There. We're done. Back to Guilty Pleasure, musical Guilty Pleasures. Seth, you're on deck.
No, I'm
Seth,
on deck.
Seth, you're up to bat. Jesse, you're on deck.
Well, hang on, because one of my Guilty Pleasures was actually I picked the song Counterfeit from the same album that Pollution was from, and that was
You're kidding me?
No, seriously, and that's when you're like, when you called me and we're like, hey, which one of these? I'm like, no, dude, we're playing Pollution because I have that album already and I can just drop it in there. But yeah, I like that. So Seth, you and I both have terrible taste together.
Yeah, you're freaking me out. You wear a face called Counterfeit.
Yes.
And Pollution. I like, you can't go wrong with those two.
Yeah, those are like probably my two favorite songs on there. And
Are we the podcast that's going to play two Limp Bizkit songs?
No.
Only separated by an Avenged Sevenfold song?
No, we're not going to play that.
Okay.
Anyway, what are some of your other guilty pleasures, Seth?
I would have to say, and again, not embarrassed at all, simply guilty pleasure, is actually Spice Girls' To Become One. I absolutely love it. I think the melody, the vocal hooks in it and stuff, I think it's great. Especially after the chorus, what is it? It's the... Like, it goes deep. It's like, the only way to be, or something like that. I don't even know the exact words. Love it.
When Seth submitted these to us, he sent me the email, and he had a YouTube link, because he doesn't have a copy of this song. And I clicked on it, and I listened to it. It's a pretty song. I'm not going to lie.
It is, yes.
It's a pretty song.
I don't even have a comment, because I don't even know what it is.
Well, you should click on it. It's very pretty.
Silence is golden.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, in this case.
Duct tape is silver.
Well, I had to throw around the Limp Bizkit and Avenged Sevenfold and make you guys feel bad, because I'm really going to throw myself under the bus now. You thought Dave Matthews was bad. Wait till you hear this one. Okay, so if you listen to the other podcasts, I got started with thrash metal, 1988, that era. You know, I got into some legit, cool, heavy stuff that influenced me as a 13-year-old boy. But somewhere around 14, 15, you know, your body starts to change. You start to get interested in girls, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. So MTV had this really bad habit of throwing these hair metal bands at me with giant drum sets and beautiful women. I was rendered helpless. I fell so hard into hair metal. I would go home and listen to Believer and Slayer, and then I'd turn on MTV and I'd watch Slaughter and Trickster and all the other bands.
How do you argue with a drum set with, you know, cymbals hanging from giant chains and things like
that? You don't. Awesome. Cool. It's as awesome comes. But you can go, you can break bad in any genre of music. And, yeah. Beavis and Butthead really ended Kip Winger's career. But I'm going to...
Taken down in his prime, you might say.
I'm going to stand here, and I'm going to take a gigantic knuckle punch to the chin. I liked Winger.
Okay.
Oh, go ahead. You have a comment? Please. I can't wait to hear this.
These are supposed to be embarrassing, and... I want to commend you for really taking to the next level beyond embarrassing and just moving straight into shame.
Well, I went through some hair metal albums, and there's hair metal bands I'm not ashamed of. I love Stryper, and I always will. I might be buried in a black and yellow striped tuxedo. I'm not sure yet. I haven't decided. I'm not ashamed that I love the Bullet Boys.
That's right. I remember we talked about that.
Yeah, dude, I love them. Yeah. But Winger, I know, is such a weird... I don't know what to say, except it's drum-driven. Rod Morgenstein was the drummer. He's legit. Yeah, so I chose the first track off the first album just because I was laughing so hard I couldn't go any further. But this song is called... It's the first song I ever heard by them. It's called Madeline. It's about a girl. Imagine that. And so this podcast land is Winger with Madeline.
And you're sure we have to play it?
It's the one I picked. Play the song.
I wish I had let this record so everybody out there could see the dark side of this podcast. There was a lot of racially charged comments being made
all set
against Irish people and Scottish people. So hurtful. Hurtful.
Yeah.
I heard terms like those people being thrown around, and Travis sounded like a leprechaun for a minute. And...
Hi!
So, we're going to get letters.
It took a turn, yeah.
So, anyway, I guess we're all just frazzled from Winger and Avenged Sevenfold and garbage like that.
Frazzled, you mean excited, then yes.
Yes, that's exactly what I meant. So I want to selfishly plug the Veritas Vinyl Christmas EP. It's coming out on Black Friday, which I don't know. We usually post this podcast on Saturday or Sunday, so it'll probably already be out by the time we put this up. And that's also what I've been listening to. There's a handful of good songs on there, and I'm going to play one of them by a, heretofore unknown Veritas band called Cathead Death Ray. And, the drummer of this band has coined it as a Veritas supergroup, meaning it's got a handful of people from various Veritas bands on it. And so I'm going to play that on the end. It's called Eggnog Till I Puke. Trav, what have you been listening to?
No, I have been listening to a gentleman from Germany named Benny Greb. He's kind of a big name in the drumming community. He's put out like instructional DVDs and all that kind of stuff. He just formed a three-piece, like a jazz fusion band called Moving Parts. Kind of rad. If you look it up, all his artwork is based around them dressed like the Ghostbusters and everything. It's pretty funny, actually. But keyboard player...
No, hang on. Don't breeze past that. They're all dressed up like the Ghostbusters?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They have...
That's probably the best movie ever made.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I know. That's why I brought it up.
And it's a movie I've seen.
Yeah, and Seth doesn't watch movies. I've been friends with him for a long time, and every time I do a movie reference, I'm like, nothing? And he's like, I don't watch movies.
I don't get it.
Yeah. But,
I've got a fix, Ian. I don't watch TV.
Yeah, and I do both, but I don't ride bikes, so we all have something that we don't do.
It's all good.
Yeah. I don't froth.
No, the artwork, no one froths. It doesn't exist.
Apparently
it's
you do.
Disc golf.
You
it's
keep telling me how you froth all the time, and you bought a froth goalie thing.
Froth? I've never frothed. Isn't that the stuff in the top of your cappuccino? Don't you get extra froth on top? They're dressed like the Ghostbusters. They have like the jumpsuits, and it has their last names where it would say Venkman. It has Greb. It's pretty awesome. You should look it up.
I'm definitely going to look it up. That sounds amazing.
I just bought the album. The album just came out. I just bought it over the weekend. I can't stop listening to it. It's rad. And the song I picked is called it's called Good Question. And check it out. It's really good. It does not fit on a podcast with Avenged Sevenfold, Winger, and Limp Bizkit, but that's what I picked, so you're all going to listen to it. It'll only take you about 5 minutes. It's really good.
Here's some weird jazz stuff and something called Cathead Death Ray, but before we get to that, Seth has been with us this whole time, and he's a super entertaining guy. Seth, just remind us again where we can find ways to interact with you.
Hooray, absolutely. Skulltoaster.com. is my heavy metal trivia stuff, and or for the Twitter crowd, either at SethW or at Skulltoaster, and that's how you can find me. Or if you're really daring and nerdy and adventurous, SethW.com, you can find me there as well. So
he's all over.
Yeah. I'm all over the place.
Highly recommend you find Seth somewhere and follow him. Sign up for the Skulltoaster email, and yeah, it's awesome. So
unless you're Irish, don't pay attention to anything.
If you're Irish, just
my nightly clear. Emails are quite racially insensitive.
Seth hates you.
All right, here's some dumb music. See you later.